So I'm going to do the reading for this evening. Mark's going to speak to us this evening about the Holy Spirit. The reading is from John chapter 16, verse 5. If you have a church Bible, it's on page 1084. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Now, I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you have asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of their guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. To you more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. He will not speak in his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more. And then, after a little while, you will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Mark, come on up.
Great, thanks, Aaron. Let's have that. Ben, can we have that lyric up? Thanks. Great. Hi, my name's Mark. I'm training to be a vicar. I'm halfway through, so still work to do, but by the grace of God, I'll get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all who you are. And Lord, we pray that, as Connor prayed, that your Spirit would work amongst us, rising up, that the Spirit within us may have an impact on our lives and the lives of all those around us. Amen. Amen. Right, the talk today, in case you missed the point, is the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he guides us into the truth. And I went, because I'm at theological college, I went to a talk by a guy who spent 50 years studying the Bible. He's at Cambridge, obviously very clever. And he spent an hour talking about the Gospel of John. Oh, by the way, I'm going to talk for 20 to 25 minutes. But I could just listen to this guy all day, and I can't remember his name, James, sorry. But he said that the Gospel of John is about abundance. And I just want you to think about that, or just have that in the back of your minds. The Gospel of John is all about abundance. And the very first question that Jesus asks in the Gospel of John, or at least it's recorded that he asks, is, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" And maybe that's another question we should have at the back of our minds. What are we seeking? Right, I just want to go through the passage, just to get a background about what we're talking about. Quickly go through the passage, then bring out a couple of themes, and then 25 minutes will be up and I'll sit down. So, John chapter 16, verse 7. If you've got a Bible, you can look at that. We're in verse 7. Now, very strange phrase here. Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And I think that's slightly counterintuitive. The disciples are thinking, well, you're actually quite a good guy. You heal people. You bring people up from the dead. You walk on water. But it's to our advantage that you're going away. But of course, while Jesus was on the earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But of course, when Jesus went away, he said that he's going to give us, and he has given us, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can carry on that work of Jesus over the entire world at all times. And I like the English Standard Version of the Bible just for this passage, not for anything else. I like the New Living Translation most of the time. But the English Standard Version translates counselor, or in the newer NIV, advocate. It translates it Elias, helper. So the Holy Spirit is called helper. I think that's a great word to think, that the Holy Spirit helps us to carry on the things that Jesus did. Now, the Holy Spirit has lots of names or lots of meanings. In the Old Testament, he's referred to as the Ruach, the Spirit of... I didn't go to Hebrew classes at college, by the way, so it's Ruach, the Spirit. That's about 300 times, and that's meaning breath, wind, mind, spirit, things like that. And there's references, of course, to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. One of my favorites is from Ezekiel, where Ezekiel says, this is talking about God talking, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit, Ruach, a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. So again, you know, stones are very hard to change. Flesh, much more malleable, it can change. I know my flesh can change because my tummy is getting bigger. And I'm sure it changes in other ways too. But the Holy Spirit there changing us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit can change us. So even in the Old Testament, it talks about the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out. Now, I actually went to Greek classes, but of course I looked this one up. And I didn't take the exam in college because it was far too much like hard work to take a Greek exam. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, and I guess that's where we get the word pneumatic, which is to do with air pressure and all that business. So again, the Greek word pneuma occurs about 300 times as well. And again, that means spirit, breath, heart, mind, the immaterial, things like that. And in John 20, we hear that Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into his disciples. He's just been resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says to someone, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, again, that, we hear that in our passage today, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them, he ruached on them, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Ruach, actually probably the pneuma of God in the New Testament. And again, of course, on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples are together in one place, we have that mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And what seemed like tongues of fire that separated out and came to rest on each of the disciples. And there they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, we've got that phrase, pneuma, spirit or breath. Now, having said that, spirit, or in terms of ruach or pneuma, breath, in John 16, we go a bit strange and we get the word for Holy Spirit in John 16 as parakletos, which of course is translated advocate, counselor, my favorite, helper. And there's only five times in the whole New Testament that that word is used, parakletos. And I couldn't find this in any commentary, but I remember some talk I listened to ages ago by someone, I think he was quite good. And he said the word parakletos was also used when Roman soldiers were fighting. And because they were, you know, when you're fighting someone, I'm fighting Helen with my sword here, what could happen? Ellie could creep up and stab me in the back. So what my parakletos would do, what my helper would do, he would stand behind me back to back. So when Ellie did come up, my helper could stab her so she wouldn't stab me. And that's how the Roman soldiers did their parakletos fighting. They helped each other by standing back to back. So isn't that a great thought, that the Holy Spirit is our parakletos? He's got our back. You know, he's helping us. Wherever we go, he's there watching over us, having our back. So I like that word from the English Standard Version. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So Jesus is leaving his closest friends, but he said it's to their advantage that he goes, because he doesn't want to leave them alone, and he sends them this helper. So, and that helper, the Holy Spirit, is still with us for about 50 years. People wrote the Bible, set up a few churches, and then the Holy Spirit went back to heaven like Jesus did. The Holy Spirit, we believe here for sure, is still amongst us. And some of the thing, all of the things that Connor was saying to us today, and the things that Ellie was saying about the work with the women there, is the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives today. So, if you've got your Bible, let's look at verse 8. It talks about the Holy Spirit convicting the world. And it says that we can have hope that the many who are in the world will not be part of the world forever, because they repent of the sins that they're committing and they'll believe in Christ. So again, we have this dichotomy, this two. We've got people in the world and Christians who have come out of the world and been born again into the new life of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the way this, in verse 13, we read that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And again, this is my main point. The Spirit of truth convicts people of sin. The Spirit of truth leads people to righteousness. The Spirit of truth illuminates where there is darkness and error and lies. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will guide us into all truth. And the Spirit's ministry of guiding us, Jesus' followers, into all the truth is a promise especially directed towards those 11 disciples, because, you know, the truth is found in Scripture. Some of those disciples wrote the Scriptures. But of course, it's also for the whole children of God. It's for every believer who confesses the name of Jesus can have the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples did at the day of Pentecost. Can do powerful things. So whatever we read about in the Bible, we can see happen amongst us. I think that's quite exciting. You know, Connor's obviously very excited. I sometimes get excited, but hearing that gets me excited. So to hear what the Holy Spirit is doing in this country in our day. I was going to talk a bit about the Trinity. About, you know, there's a bit in the passage about the Trinity. The Father does this, the Holy Spirit does that, and Jesus does the other bit. But just to say, we believe that the Holy Spirit is of the same substance of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. He is part of the Trinity. He is God himself. He's fully God. He can, and because only God knows the future, there's a bit in the passage that we read that the Holy Spirit will guide us in the future. He will show us what will happen in the future. So he will testify to that and show that he is God. So I want to go right back to Genesis 1, where we read that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters in creation. Now the earth was formless and empty, we read, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And straight after that, God created all that we can see around us in creation. Just imagine that Spirit hovering over the water in anticipation, in pregnant anticipation, about, in a sense, to give birth to creation. And that same Spirit is working in us. The same Spirit who spoke through all the prophets to tell of the arrival of Jesus is the same Spirit. And those things happened. The same Spirit who said, who prophesied that he would be poured out on all people, that happened. It's the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. That happened. And I wonder what the Spirit is saying into your life. What's he saying to you? What will you say that the Spirit did in your life that happened? I used to go to a church, and there was a woman there called Elaine, and she was a single woman. I think she told me she wanted a husband. So we had to pray for her to get a husband. And I said, "Oh, what sort of husband would you like?" She said, "I like black men." She said, "I want a black man to be my husband." Yeah. I don't know why, but that's what she said. And I said that verse in my mind came to me, and it said, "God will grant you the desires of your heart." And the desire of our heart was to marry a black man. And she prayed. And who would pop up but Osas Faluyi, who, as you might know, is a Nigerian name. And he was a black man, and they got married, and they've got two lovely children. And God answered her prayer. And I just think that's a great story of the Spirit putting a desire in her heart, a godly desire to have a good man with a slight preference. And God granted her desire by the Spirit of God. Amazing. So if that gives you confidence or faith, great. If not, I thought that's a great little story. So John's gospel is one of abundance. God wants the most for us. And remember that very first question that Jesus asks in the Gospel of John, "What are you seeking?" I'm sure most of you won't be seeking a black man, who knows. But what are you seeking? Have a think. You know, what are the desires of your heart? What are you seeking? What do you really want? What means the most to you? I think as we read the Gospels, Jesus often challenged that. I mean, he saw a blind man. You imagine a blind man would want to be healed of his blindness, to be see again. But Jesus didn't get to go up to him and heal him. He said to the blind man, "What do you want?" Jesus didn't assume that that blind man wanted to see. He asked him, he said, "What do you want?" And that very first question in John's Gospel that Jesus asked, I think, his prospective disciples, "What are you seeking?" Yeah, Jesus wants to give it to us. Jesus wants to be who you need him to be. That's not to say we can make up our own Jesus's. You know, he won't deny his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he meets all our needs all the time in his time. Now, the second question, Jesus says, "What are you seeking?" Does anyone know what the disciples said? I'll be very impressed. In John chapter 1 or 2, they didn't give him a list. They said, so Jesus said, "What are you seeking?" The disciples said, "Where are you staying?" So maybe they wanted somewhere to stay that night. So they asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And that just made me think, do you want Jesus to stay with you? You know, that Roman soldier with his paracletos minding his back. Do you want Jesus to stay with you? What would it be like if Jesus followed us around everywhere? I wonder, what would we do? What wouldn't we do? Perhaps that's why Jesus said it was to our advantage that Jesus leaves the earth. But he sent his Spirit to be with us always. So we haven't got a person talking to us, following us around, but we have got his Spirit within us, the paraclete, the helper. And where the Spirit of Jesus is himself. They are one and the same. So I just want to spend 2 or 3 minutes having a think. You can talk about this in pairs or threes, or maybe just think about it to yourself on your own. You know, if you don't think he's doing anything, what would you like him to do? Maybe just have a think, if you're brave enough, chat to your neighbour, but what's the Spirit of God doing in your life right now? What would you like him to do? Spend a minute or two thinking about that. Okay. So hopefully we've talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit being at work in us, what we would hope the Holy Spirit could do in us now. And as we look around us, our church, our community, our nation, our world, I think the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't really get into the news. I don't hear much news that Connor said at the BBC 1 10 o'clock news. It's a shame, but I'd like to. But, you know, it'd be great to hear some people getting healed. And I guess it was a bit like Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't really advertise it to the media or the powers that be of what he was doing. But to God be the glory, we found out through the Gospels. And God continues to work through his Holy Spirit what Jesus did in the lives of those people 2,000 years ago, but also right now. And I just think the more of God that we see and experience, isn't it the more of God that we'd want? The more I know Millie loves me, the more I want her to love me. That's my wife, by the way, in case you're wondering. Rather than some random woman, I met in Starbucks this afternoon. Yeah, so, but I wonder, you know, what is truth? When Jesus was being tried, when he was on trial for his life, he asked, he told Pilate, the Roman governor, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So Pilate said, what is truth? Does anyone know the answer to that question? What is truth? Oh. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think Jesus didn't quite say that one, but we know that Jesus is the truth. But it just, I mean, Pilate asked that question, what is the truth? And I wonder, him and you and me, what is the truth that we want to hear? What is the truth that we want to hear? You know, what or who are we listening to now? The Spirit guides us, and when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That's from the passage we read today. But I wonder, who do we listen to? And this is my visual aid, by the way, as to who we listen to. This is Jesus, right? This speaker. We know that because there's the Bible next to it. That's Jesus, right? This is the world, okay? This is the world. You notice this one's got a volume control on it. I just wonder how loud... It's not going to work, by the way. It's not plugged in. But how noisy is it in terms of letting the world speak to us? Maybe some of the lies, some of the things of darkness. Do we plug in, not literally like this, but do we plug in to the world? Yeah? Yeah, don't do that at home, says Penny the head teacher. Yeah, don't plug into the world. No, yeah. It gets worse, Penny, watch out. Or do we come over here and get close to Jesus and listen to Jesus, I wonder? Are we too preoccupied by the world that says you're not good enough, or you're not something enough? You're too fat, you're too thin, you're too ugly, you're too tall, you're too short, you've got a crap self-image, your self-esteem's down the toilet, you're not clever enough, you're not worthy for that gift. Look at them, they've got it all. I want to be like them. You know, maybe the voice is saying, you know, as I listen to here, you know, maybe the world is saying that I deserve more. So I need to go out and get it, no matter how I get it. I'll trample on other people, I'll abuse them, I'll exploit them, I'll use them just to make me happy, to get more money, work harder, ignore my family, ignore those in need, forget about the poor, the lonely, the abandoned. There's more important things. It's all about me when I listen to the world. Am I too plugged in? I mean, the world's got two plugs here, I've noticed. I'm turning up the volume, I'm listening to the world. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. I think what I need to do, what do we need to do, whatever it is in your life, get your spiritual scissors out. I'm going to cut the connections off. Yeah? I'm going to throw them away. I don't want to be connected to the world. Yeah? I'm going to, yeah, turn it down. Turn it down. Be radical. Get your scissors out. Do we want to be more radical? It's not, oh, yeah, snip it away. There you go. Stop it. I can still hear it. The devil is wily. He roams around like a lion. How radical do you have to be? That's the world speaking to you down there. Whatever you have to do, don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the world. Listen to Jesus. Yeah? Jesus says, you're forgiven. You're going to be made whole. You're precious. You're worthy. You're beautiful. You have all you need. Love your neighbor. Don't exploit the poor. Care for the widow. Jesus made it possible. You know, who do you believe? You know, Jesus. Now, we've destroyed the world by doing those things, whatever your hammer and scissors are. I've got another vision aid. I'm going to need a helper. Tiana, come on. Connor, come on then. You've been volunteered. Get a friend, you know, to help you listen to the word, to help you listen to Jesus. You might need a friend. Okay, so this is my friend, whose spirit, I hope, he's my spiritual stickiness. Now, I want you to get some, this is, remember, this is Jesus. Yeah, this is Jesus. He's speaking good things into my life. He's speaking the truth into my life. So what am I going to do? I'm going to get that right on my ear. Connor, I want you to sellotape it to my ear, around my head. Come on. He's only got a little bit of sellotape. Use the whole tape. Wrap it around. Oh, you might. Oh, come on! I want it. Oh, Ellie, he's been. He's. Oh, come on! I'm gonna have to bend down. Oh, that's more like it. Oh. There we go. Keep going. Give me two more. That'll do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll just leave it hanging. That. Plug it and plug it in. Plug it. There we go. Plug it in. Whatever you have to do to plug it into the Bible, plug it in. And listen to Jesus. That's my point. Jesus is the truth. Listen. I'm going to keep that on until I finish my talk, which you'll be thankful to know is very soon. Make every effort to connect to Jesus, I wrote here. Connect to Jesus. Yeah, listen to him always. Listen to the Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. He will speak. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Jesus because it is from Jesus that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father belongs to Jesus. That is why Jesus said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Remember, the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. Yeah. Jesus came. Jesus is the word that we may have life and have it in all its fullness. That's what I want you to choose tonight. Jesus being the truth, guided by his Spirit into all fullness. I just want to end by speaking over to you some truth, which is the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.